Welcome to Family Guidons, the podcast created by military spouses for military families.
We're the ones holding down the home front during deployments, state activations, and everything in between.
Here we have an honest conversation about the realities of military life, the highs, the hard moments, and the strength it takes to keep moving forward.
Whether you're new to the military community or a seasoned spouse who's seen it all,
Family Guidons is your place for connection, support, and real conversations.
Because no one understands life like the ones who've been living it beside them.
This is Family Guidons. Fall in.
Welcome back to Family Guidons. Today's episode is titled Fresh Starts and First Days, Military Life Meets the School Year. I'm Charlotte Stillwell, a longtime military spouse, but a short-time military mom to a son who is serving on active duty.
And I'm Kathy Bridgers. I've been a military wife for 29 years and a military mom for 9 years.
And I'm Michelle Matheny, a military wife of 14 years and a mom to 3 little girls and a volunteer and a huge supporter of our military. So today, we're talking about all the summer fun. We know that summer comes with a lot of fun, but when you are affiliated with the military, there is another layer of quote-unquote fun that can sometimes be involved, and that's PCS season. So for those in an active duty situation, many families are probably awaiting their orders of where they're going next and what they're going to be doing, or they are just transitioning to their new communities. And then you add the extra layer of back to school to that. So we wanted to kind of cover today the emotions and the stress that comes with making all those changes all at once.
So we're going to try to cover all things PCS and back to school at the same time, including getting plugged in quickly to your communities, to your schools, considering safety, all the different issues that apply.
So I haven't had a change of duty station. So my back to school has always looked a little bit different. We got excited about it. We enjoyed everything from the collecting the supplies all the way to looking at that school calendar, marrying it up with our family calendar. It was just a time of excitement. But you throw in a new town, if you've changed location and new schools, a new set of friends, teachers that you don't have the scoop on, all of those things can be challenging and can cause some concern, both for the parent but also for our little ones. So there's some things you can do to kind of ease that transition. One of the things that I would think all of us would do would be to look into the school, introduce yourself, get involved that way before school actually starts.
Yeah. Social media is such a powerful tool now. I mean, it's interesting. So we haven't moved this year, but my oldest is starting in a new school because she's going to middle school. Mm-hmm. And I was texting with a group of moms about, different stuff, getting ready for school, and realized I had missed an opportunity for a tour of the school where you could bring the kids in and they could see the school. And the only place they posted that was on their Facebook page. It's like if you're not plugged into their social media, you kind of miss a lot. But the good news about that is you can do it wherever you are. So, find those social media pages, the PTO or PTA. Our schools here have separate ones for both of those things. So lots of different sources for information.
Right.
We would practice drive-bys, okay, let's do a dry run.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Get in the car. What route are we going to take? Just so they kind of get used to where the drop-off is, where the pickup is. I mean, if you can go in the school for a visit, that would be a plus.
Yeah.
We never PCS'd right before school either, but you do switch schools.
Right.
From elementary to middle school. So we would do that. And if you have concerns, you can reach out to the counselors ahead of time and just kind of plant a little bug. Hey, we're new in town. Just keep an eye on my child. And if you see anything, just be aware.
Well, that's, you mentioned the counselors. I was going to say, I think it's always a good idea to reach out to the counselor and ask to meet beforehand. And again, you know, not to wait until a few days before school starts, if at all possible, because they're busy too. But yeah, introducing your child to the counselor, and also, you know, taking your child into the school if possible, not just for a tour of the school, but just to meet some people. If the library is in place, say hey to the librarian, because that's a familiar face. Mm-hmm. The custodian that you see, that's a familiar face. So all of those people and that familiarity helps ease some of our young ones into, okay, this isn't so strange. These are people that I, you know, have seen before.
Yeah.
A familiar face.
I love that. And the school counselors are so valuable mm-hmm. to the community and the kids. I mean, not even a move, but just with the deployment this year, the counselors at the girls' school were wonderful in taking care of them and paying them a little extra attention and giving them a little extra love when they saw them, you know, around yeah. the halls in the morning. I will say also, I think it's worth looking into if the school district that you're moving to is a Purple Star mm-hmm. district. So mm-hmm. if they're around a military installation and you're not going to, you know, a Dodds school or Dodea school, but you're going, you know, on the economy. I know here, because of Fort Jackson, mm-hmm. A lot of our districts have done that. So the district that my girls are in mm-hmm. is a Purple Star district, which means they've done some extra training and have some extra programs and resources in place for military families, which was really nice this year because they knew about some perks that even I didn't know about. So definitely ask that question.
That's interesting. Being in the upstate, I don't know that we have Purple Schools or Purple Star Schools, but it would be worth looking into for anyone not near an installation.
Absolutely.
For those National Guard members who could be deployed, that Purple Star status could be definitely a benefit to them. Mm-hmm. And then there's always just that easy little, when you're buying the school supplies, get your child involved, let them pick their colors, you know, make it fun, just as a way of easing, like, oh, well, I had this kind of thing when I was back at previous location. Mm-hmm. I get to, you know, get excited about this too.
That's my kids' favorite part, picking their new backpack and lunchbox, what the theme is going to be for
pencil
the year.
Pencil case.
Yeah.
I always like that.
And be part of the decision-making. It helps them feel like they've got some control over the situation. Yeah. It's hard to feel like you don't have any control when you're doing something new.
That and taking out that school calendar and putting it onto the family calendar. I felt like that always helped the children see the dates and see, oh, gosh, you know, again, we follow the same structure. Mm-hmm.
So I feel like beyond these physical mm-hmm. things, we got to think about their emotional readiness right. for a new place, right? So mm-hmm. there's a lot that can go into that. And I think, you know, kind of setting the expectations first, having those conversations, and maybe they look different if your child is 6 versus 16. But even for an older kid, you know, talking to them about what might seem the same or what might not feel familiar, helping them kind of identify those things, you know, and allowing them to feel the sadness for what they've left behind, the friends or the teachers that they loved or mm-hmm. the team or the club or whatever, but then talking about moving on from that and helping them figure out how they can find a new version of that mm-hmm. where you are now.
Mm-hmm. And walk them through that new version, like going in and meeting people. What does it feel like to walk into a new room? Help ease their minds with practicing conversation skills
yes.
and approaching someone and saying, hello, my name is, and how to continue that.
Yeah.
I think all of that helps their emotions in that they can feel confident.
They may think it's a little silly at the time. I know my 11-year-old always like rolls her eyes when I try to do that with her. Like, uh-huh. how would you, let's talk about like, how are you going to approach the situation? But I do think it is helpful in the end.
And I think like our past guest said, smile.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can just go in with a smile, you'll make friends without even having to say the right, you know, the right thing.
Right.
It just makes people feel like you're open.
Mm-hmm. Approachable.
Good way to get to know people.
Mm-hmm. And I think looking for the ways in the move and in the school year where you can kind of create that continuity even in a different place. So if you have traditions around what you do the night before school starts, mm-hmm. or the first day of school, if you always get ice cream after school, or you sit down and, you know, have some kind of family conversation, or you do, you know, pizza every Friday night for our mm-hmm. family, it's Mexican every Sunday. So that's like, it's for years, I think I can count on two hands probably the number of times we have not had a dinner at a Mexican restaurant or Mexican at home on a Sunday, and it's just kind of a nice tradition, and that follows us wherever we go, whether we're on vacation or home or whatever.
Yeah, give some continuity. That's nice.
Yeah. And then I think the last thing about that is, you know, obviously just as a parent watching for the signs of stress, of making sure that, you know, you feel like they are transitioning okay and that they're dealing with those changes and having the conversations if they're not. And that looks different, I'm sure, depending on their age. But that could be, you know, bad sleep patterns or lack of sleep, mm-hmm. Or being more irritable than normal, which is sometimes hard to tell depending on the age of your children. Mm-hmm. Or like in younger kids, like legitimate regressions, like bedwetting, mm-hmm. thumb sucking, you know, things that they were able to do on their own well, mm-hmm. that they're no longer doing on their own, or just being a lot more scared or emotional in general. And maybe that's the time to have a bigger conversation with them, or to bring in, you know, a professional. There are so many resources, especially with the military, for free, which we've talked about in previous episodes. But getting, you know, in touch with the behavioral health office where you are, or, you know, Military One Source, the MFLAX. There's lots of free resources that I feel like people are scared to take advantage of, or they think it's going to be hard to take advantage of them, but they are really so, so easy to do if you just make the phone call.
Right. Well, and also not just for our children, but also for ourselves. I mean, we as parents are likely to have a meltdown or two as new routines are established, and maybe thoughts are challenged because you go in thinking one thing and you find out it doesn't quite work that way at this particular school. So meltdowns are not just for our children.
That is true.
You have to try to set that example of how to handle that stress, especially if you're doing it by yourself.
Right.
I think setting up, we used to have like a specific time of day that we would talk about stressors. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it wouldn't build up to the point where there was like major signs. We would do it at bedtime. We'd read a book. I'd either sit on the bed or lay in bed with them and we'd talk about the day. They seemed more vulnerable and willing to share rather than they get in the car, how's your day? Fine. You know, they don't want to give you a lot of information.
But right.
Before going to sleep, for some reason, they would open up if there was a concern and I'd say, okay, let's pray about it. Mm-hmm. And that always kind of seemed to just calm things down and allow them to go to sleep and hopefully not build up to the point where you need intervention.
Yeah. Yeah, bedtime is the time for my girls, too. And I don't know, I am sure there is a, you know, a psychological or, you know, physiological reason for that. But we try to do the same kind of thing and have even gotten to the point of when I feel like they are really, you know, worried. Like, I will literally, like, put out my hands and be like, give it to me. Like, give me the worries. Like, tell me what they are. Like, we're going to take them and we're going to get rid of them. And then, like, we end with talking about something positive, like something that they're looking forward to the next day or something pretty and fun and happy that they want to dream about. And I think just having that, like, being able to download, you know, like you said, and get it out of your head and then move on with something, hopefully, that puts you in a better headspace before you close your eyes is a neat thing.
You're doing a great job, Michelle.
Yeah.
Love hearing that.
Thank you. Well, I have to give Bill credit. He saw that one online somewhere, and it has been a big thing for our kids. So,
I love that.
Shout out to him for that one.
I like ending on a positive note, even if there's stressors that they talk about.
Yeah.
Ending on what can we focus on that's positive. That's great. And how do we kind of help with that tension easing in, getting the kids involved quickly, maybe even before school starts. Look into rec sports or church groups, anything you can plug them into to get to know maybe people in the community, even if it's not children that go to the same school. Mm-hmm. It's okay to have friends from the area that aren't going to the same school. I think it's kind of nice.
Sometimes that's nice to have a little break.
when we were in middle school, one of my kids was having a hard time with kind of a cliquey bully thing going on. And I said, this was middle school. I said, let's call some of your friends from elementary school that go to a different middle school. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to worry about that. And it completely like flipped the script, just having somebody that wasn't there. So just look for opportunities so they can just get to know people in the community.
Right.
Even if it's not at the school.
Well, and that can be done through sports, too. Sports are just great on so many different levels, but we always told our children, as they got older, you don't have to have a job as long as you're involved in a sport or an art. Mm-hmm. But that's your job. And I do think that in times of deployments, for instance, having those sports there and in place really did help. But again, if it's a change of duty station, scout those out beforehand and go ahead and start that pre-training and reach out to the local organization and see, you know, if the coach, if it starts before school, see what the coach recommends as far as activities beforehand.
Sports is also a good time for you to meet other parents in the area. I mean, some of my best friends were parents of children that my children went to school with or did sports with.
Yeah.
So good opportunity to do that too. But it's important for parents to get involved in groups. Like you were saying, Facebook is a big connector, but you could get into a local church group and get to know parents in the area or spouse groups. Or some neighborhoods have, you know, neighborhood meetings or barbecues. Like try to find those. That way you and your kids can make connections at the same time.
When we were overseas, there was a big group on post, it was called MOPS, Mothers of Preschoolers.
Oh, yes.
And I feel like that was a huge thing on military installations everywhere. Mm-hmm. And it has changed. I think it's now called Military Mom Co. Because they wanted to kind of open it up past, you know, mothers of preschoolers. That was kind of a limiting factor. I know that's what it's called here anyway in Columbia, because I'm tied in to the group that's based, loosely based out of Fort Jackson. Mm-hmm. But look for those groups wherever you're moving. I think, you know, like I said, I think Military Mom Co. is a good one if you're on an active duty installation or near one, like I said, because we're not active duty, but, you know, they welcomed me into their community anyway. And they have a big social media presence, but they also have in-person meetings and events. And and that's a good place to get tied in addition to church and sports and neighborhood and that kind of thing.
The other thing as far as starting school, once school starts back and you sign up in class for all of the volunteer activities, I always tried to get to that list first so that I could, you know, choose ones that put me in contact with other parents. That way, that was a good way to incorporate a new face into what we were doing.
I think even volunteering to be in the classroom, for me, I mean, I was a teacher for 10 years, so I was all about getting in the classroom. It's a good way to see all of the kids in the classroom, the dynamics, get to know the teacher, kind of if your child is one of those that has a little bit of trepidation going to school, the comfort of knowing you're going to be in there one day a week for an hour or so. And, you know, just when I did it, we got to pull one student and do one-on-one. And we ran into one of those students at the airport about a year ago, my daughter and I. He recognized her. And then he said, "It's me, Samuel." And he's like, you know, this 6'3" giant that works at the airport. Mm-hmm. So sweet. And he goes, "Samuel," and he looks at me and I go, "Oh my God, Samuel." And he goes, "I'm going to call my mom and tell her I saw you here." He said, "You don't know like what that meant."
Oh.
He said, it changed my life having that one-on-one, because he just wasn't doing well with the whole group. But he got to see, he's like, "I realized I wasn't dumb, that I could do it. Mm-hmm. I just needed to have that encouragement." So, I mean, that was like, we're talking elementary school to like a year ago. So you just don't know. Mm-hmm. You do it to help your child, but if you can touch somebody else at the same time, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I feel like it's interesting. I don't know if this is across the board or if it's just our district, but they don't have as many volunteer opportunities in the classroom anymore. And I don't know if that's just, you know, the way of the world and it's harder to, I mean, we go through a background check and all that to be in there, but I am a cleared or a approved volunteer for their school. And even if you can get in, like they have book fairs. I always work the book fairs at the school or when we do teacher appreciation stuff. And I have these, there's like a handful of students who I have now helped shop at like 6 book fairs. So, and they remember me every time and they like beeline for me. Mm-hmm. And then I see them in the car line and they wave to me and my daughters are like, how do you know that kid? I'm like, from the book fair. So like you said, you never know when it's going to like stick with a kid or mean something to them to have a little bit of extra attention. So however you can get in and do it, it's a good way.
That works.
So I think in addition to the getting involved, the other part of that comfort is making your space at home, you know, kind of establishing your home base, whether that's in your home specifically or in the community as a whole. One of the things that I have found in past moves that I feel like helps the kids so much is getting their space established really quickly in the house. Like, it may not be put together everywhere else. You may not have pictures on the walls in the living room or the furniture exactly the way you want it. But if you can get their rooms set up and feeling like their home space as fast as possible, I really do think that's helpful in their comfort. And then kind of getting back to, as we've already talked about a little bit, but the routines, like establishing what a daily routine looks like in this new place is just, I mean, you know, it's tough, but after 11 years of parenting, I truly do believe that like kids want the structure and they want the routine and they want the rules, even if they don't always love them. And it helps to kind of keep them grounded.
I think you're right. It's unpacking, but you're unpacking some emotions. You're unpacking physical items. You're unpacking all that you've left behind and assimilating new things into a new year, a new place.
Yeah. I think it's also important to balance that setup time, the unpacking time with, you know, some intentional family time, whether that be to stop for a meal altogether or to take a break and go explore a new place, like find your new spots, right? Like find your favorite, you know, close by movie theater or your ice cream store or your go-to shop for, you know, cute outfits for them or whatever that might be, a place to get outside and ride their bikes or walk or whatever, just to kind of make that community feel more familiar to them.
So a part of, you know, your community, I think because it is a new community, it's also a good chance, a good time to review safety precautions. I always was fearful that what if something happened to me and I couldn't get my backup, get in touch with my backup to take care of the children or to meet them wherever they are. And one of the things that we did was establish a safe phrase. And if that person that they might not be familiar with where to go and pick them up or to say, hey, your mom wants you to do this, if they knew the safe phrase, then it was okay. And not to
That's
follow.
A wonderful idea.
It's a great idea. And it's, you know, you might also, because you're in a new community, just revisit some rules that you have with your family. Like, you know, don't talk to the stranger who is offering you a chance to pet the puppies or, you know, all of those things that might be enticing. Review your plans.
It's actually good for even adults. Because there's so much with the scams and the people calling and using voices of people that you know. I mean, I've talked to my family recently about having a safety word. That way you can't be bamboozled into thinking that somebody's got your person or that they're trying to manipulate you. You'll know that it's from a parent or a child. So not just school age, but really any age. It's good to have that word for the family.
Well, and that kind of goes into, you know, the digital safety, too, with the things people can do online now with, you know, total fakes of video and voice and everything. It is scary to think about. But, you know, making sure that you're monitoring what your kids are doing online if they're old enough to have a phone or, I mean, my kids all have devices from school now. And granted, those are pretty locked down, but they do use YouTube Kids and stuff like that in school. Mm-hmm. So just talking to them about not having those private conversations, you know, in online chat rooms, like maybe they're playing a game and they think it's, you know, safe, but really trying to, as a parent, educate yourself on how you limit that contact mm-hmm. for your kids, but also talking to your kids about what is acceptable and safe and what isn't when it comes to online friend stuff. And that even can be, you know, with messaging and in texting and all of that stuff. Like, my daughter and I had that conversation recently just about the way you say things online. Like when you are texting, like when you put it in type, you lose all the emotional mm-hmm. context, the voice context, and those words never go away. Mm-hmm. Like you can delete them, but somebody else still has it on their phone. So mm-hmm. if you wouldn't say it out loud or you worry about how it might sound, you know, that it could be misunderstood, like you shouldn't put it in a text. Pictures, words, whatever, you know, you just have to be careful about protecting their online identity.
I love that. I always say pause and pray. That's what I tell my kids. Yeah. Before you post or say something.
Yeah.
You know, even if it's, you know, with a friend and there's a little bit of, you know, some not
drama
perfect or conversation, yeah. I'm like, pause and pray before you send it.
Yeah.
Don't shoot from your emotions. It's always
yep.
a safer way to go.
Yeah.
Good for adults as well.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes.
Yep.
Talking about computers being locked down, what about our houses being locked down unintentionally? Mm-hmm. You think about older children coming in from the school bus stop, and they've forgotten a key. A good practice, even I always was fearful of hiding a key. I don't know. It was just my thing. But we had a neighbor that we had talked to ahead of time. She was always home, and she became our safe house. Mm-hmm. If anything happened, that's where, you know, and you couldn't, if I wasn't home for whatever reason or you couldn't get in the house, you know, next door was the place to go.
Yeah. We have a few of those in our neighborhood, you know, families that we know mm-hmm. really well or that have different work hours than, you know, Bill and I, that if they ever needed anything or if they're, you know, they're at the age now where my oldest, where, you know, I'll leave her alone sometimes for short periods if I'm running errands or whatever. Mm-hmm. But to know that there's, I always talk to her about these are the people that are home mm-hmm. or if there's an emergency, like right. you're, you know, a new house means new exit routes and safety procedures for a fire or a natural disaster or whatever. So knowing how they would get out, where your family meeting spot would be if they needed to exit the house for, you know, for an emergency, that kind of thing, I think is really important too.
Yeah. As you were saying that, that reminded me to check with the school as well. Invariably, every other year or so, a huge storm or tornado warning would come through about the time school was dismissing. And so you couldn't pick up. You couldn't go into the school. You couldn't be outside the school. So it's a good idea to know ahead of time what the school's procedures are for instances like that. Because invariably you would kind of forget and go. So even in a new school situation, it's good just to look into that beforehand.
Back to getting in the house, we have a digital mm-hmm. code to get into the garage, and we also have a digital code to get into the house. So if there is a key lost, mm-hmm. you just have to emphasize, don't share the code with your friends.
You know, right? That's my six-year-old. When they learned it, you know, they're out on the front porch shouting, I know the code. Yeah. It's... And I was like, okay, we don't say that out loud. Like, you can know it, but you don't repeat it out loud.
I love that. Well, after all this, mm-hmm. you have to kind of give yourself time to reflect on yourself, not just what the kids have been going through for all these adjustments. I mean, there's decision fatigue, mm-hmm. especially if you're doing it by yourself, and there's a lot of pressure on you to get all this stuff done ahead of time and get the kids prepped. And I think it's just important to remember to give yourself grace, give yourself a timeout. Mm-hmm. I mean, kids are watching to see how we're handling stress, and if they see us push until we break, then that's what they're going to do. But if they see us go, you know what, let mom needs a timeout, I'm going to go maybe not take a bath because that's hard to do when you have kids. But, you know, even just 5 minutes to breathe on the porch or, you know, read a little bit in your book, if they see you do these decompression techniques, then they'll start to realize, oh, I can kind of help myself and do the same things that they do.
Yeah, that self-care is so important. And I mean, you know, again, in exploring your new community, don't forget about finding the places for yourself. Like find mm-hmm. your favorite local coffee shop where you yeah. can go and just, you know, sit and be quiet or meet a new friend or, you know, a gym or some other kind of activity that you like, a good walking path, mm-hmm. You know, something like that to be able to fit that self-care in when you can and take that time. And I think above all, it's just giving yourself permission to not have everything figured out immediately, that this is a process. You just want to try to, you know, progress over perfection. You want to try to make little strides where you can and know that there will probably be some bumps in the road, but you will figure it out as you go. And mm-hmm. so I would, you know, encourage people to kind of, if you're going through this process or even just back to school in general, focusing on three simple wins. Maybe one connection for you and your kids, one routine that you kind of put in place, and one safe system that you have kind of established to make everybody feel a little more comfortable in your new setting or going into the new school year.
That's digestible.
Yes.
Yep.
Small goals that you yes. can build on. And all these experiences that our military kids go through are really what makes them so resilient yeah. moving forward. I know that my two young adults make friends really easily now. I mean, we can be in an airport and they'll start chatting somebody up. And I really give credit to yeah. having to do it so many times. They're very comfortable with making friends. So sometimes we think it's hurting our kids, but really it's making them stronger for the future.
In the end.
Yeah. And so if y'all have any PCS stories or back to school stories, we would love to hear about them. Any ideas for upcoming topics for our podcast? Please share them with us.
Yes.
We'd love that. So if you enjoyed today's podcast, we would love for you to hit the follow button on your preferred podcast platform. And even better, please consider sharing this with another military family. Our next episode is titled Back Together, Not Back to Normal, where we'll discuss reintegration and how it affects and impacts the entire family. We'll also have a guest, special guest, join us for that conversation. And as always, thank you for listening to Family Guidons from the Bluff Road Readiness Center in Columbia, South Carolina, to wherever you may be. Until next time.